Well, we're going to be back tomorrow here on the Guy James Show. It's Thursday tomorrow, and we'll let you just talk all you want to tomorrow, but give us a call on the show. Don't have anybody scheduled for an interview right now. We may later on. I'm not sure. But thanks for listening today. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
President said he can't prove if top Iranian leaders gave those weapons orders. But he said, quote, I'm going to do something about it, end quote. The Iranian president has denied the allegations. The Bush administration has expanded the number of Iraqi refugees who will be allowed to settle in the U.S. The U.S. will permit around 7,000 Iraqi refugees. Since the war began, less than 500 were admitted into the U.S. In Lebanon today, tens of thousands of people gathered to mark the second anniversary of the assassination of former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. They were surrounded by fully armed troops at the Martyrs Square. To expand the pool of potential recruits, the U.S. Army has been granting more waivers to recruits with criminal backgrounds. The New York Times reports in the past 3 years there has been a 65% increase in these based on Defense Department records. A private study finds that in the next 5 years, the U.S. prison population will increase by nearly 200,000 inmates. The Pew Charitable Trust report says that get tough policies with longer sentences are behind the growth, which will cost U.S. states more than $27 billion. California's Senate voted to move up the state's presidential primary to February from June. The state assembly will vote on the measure next week, and the governor is expected to sign it. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Valentine's Day blizzard has shut down schools and halted air travel across the Northeast. At least 12 people have suffered storm-related deaths. 300,000 customers have lost electric power. According to a UN report, the welfare of children in the U.S. and Britain is ranked at the bottom of a list of 21 wealthy countries. IBM announced it has developed a way to triple the amount of memory stored on computer chips. This will make powerful microprocessors even faster. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke appeared before Congress today. He was upbeat about the economy and said it should grow modestly this year. The Chrysler unit of Daimler Chrysler will cut 13,000 jobs over the next 3 years in the U.S. That is 16% of the U.S. division's workforce. The New York Times reports that four of the largest rental car company brands in the U.S. may merge. The deal would involve National, Thrifty, Alamo, and Dollar, and would create the third largest rental car company. Last week, the number of home mortgage applications went up. And at the Westminster Kennel Club's annual dog show, an English Springer Spaniel named Diamond Jim won Best in Show. Lights Week crude trading at $58 even today. And taking a look at Wall Street this hour, the Dow in record territory up 99 points, NASDAQ up 31, S&P 500 up 13. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, 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 good day, everybody. Welcome to Foxed Up here for a Wednesday afternoon for those of you in the Americas. And it's Thursday already here. What a weird week we've had this week. Oh, but we're going to get over it. And having the interesting experience of self-producing today, which is unusual for me. I usually have, other people helping out. But, you know, but we still do, actually. We have Lorelei in West Virginia who's going to screen phone calls. So we do have phone calls. And we have the whole thing. And it's all kind of happening. Boy, do we have a lot of stuff to catch up on. Yesterday, I had a show that went out to one person, and we'll replay that first segment that didn't quite make it to air yesterday, due to the wonderful power of the internet's, we battle on here, folks. We battle on at the horn just to you know, make sure that we get out to you every day. Doesn't always happen, but hey, now. When was the last time I got through? I did a whole show. It's been a little while, and I think I haven't even been on since John Howard's little foray into American politics. So, you know, I keep telling you all, you know, from over here, those of you, you know, in the States, what a knob end Johnny Howard is, and he is. And he's proved it in spades, and you all have seen the footage, I know, where, you know, Johnny Howard on Australian Sunday television went off and had a little tirade about the fact that, you know, Barack Obama had an exit strategy and that if he were Al-Qaeda, he'd be marking March 2008 on the calendar and hoping the best for Barack Obama and the Democrats. And the key line in that was, and the Democrats. And one of his own backbenchers said, you know, Barack Obama's policy idea was dangerous, if not profoundly evil. Profoundly evil? Whose policy has killed thousands? But I have trouble even you know, keeping control of myself, because John Howard's been really floundering lately. Mr. Kevin Rudd, our new opposition leader, nicknamed by some on the blogosphere, and I've picked it up as K-Rudd, has been showing Johnny Howard what opposition is all about over the last couple of weeks. And he's now been taking John Howard on about the Iraq War for the past 3 days in Question Time. Has absolutely been digging in to the point where, when John Howard wasn't in Parliament and Mr. Rudd made a demand for Mr. Howard to come back and debate directly about the Iraq War, they tried to silence Mr. Rudd. They're so scared of having the conversation that they just wanted to shut him up. And they were kind of successful in doing that. But Rudd is just so smooth, and smooth in the best way. Like, I mean, this is a very intellectual, well-thought guy that even before he gets shut down, he still has made his point, which is a beautiful thing, if you ask me. Now, a good friend of mine and friend of the Head On Radio Network, my good mate Anthony Lowenstein, author of My Israel Question, which is being released in the United States in April, has had his first installment on The Guardian, and actually at their Comment Is Free blog. So you can go to commentisfree.guardian.co.uk and look for Anthony. And he's got a piece about Stand By Your Man. Says John Howard's obedient allegiance to George Bush and his criticisms of Barack Obama is making Australians increasingly uncomfortable. And Anthony says, in the days before the 2003 Iraq invasion, the Australian Prime Minister John Howard committed the country to war with a majority of citizens against the deployment. Howard said that the government strongly believes that the decision it has taken is right and is legal. And it is directed towards the protection of the Australian national interest. Nearly 4 years later, Howard is virtually alone internationally in his pro-war rhetoric. For him, standing by the U.S. President George Bush is a sign of strength and mateship. Even if the war was lost at least 2 years ago, Howard's main argument for arrogantly maintaining around 1,450 troops in Iraq, against the will of the Iraqi people, that is, you either stay or you go. You either rat on an ally or you don't. Howard's recent foray into the American presidential campaign by criticizing Democratic hopeful Barack Obama and claiming Al-Qaeda is hoping for his victory is both counterproductive and displays a level of unnecessary hubris that leaves Australia increasingly isolated in the American capital. Although a growing number of Australians feel distinctly uncomfortable with its closeness to Washington, Howard's gaffe is aimed squarely at the domestic audience. The new Labour opposition leader, Kevin Rudd, is riding high in the polls and is the first serious challenge to Howard's 11-year leadership. An election is due by the end of this year. Rudd, while unconvincingly not setting a timetable for Australian troops in Iraq to withdraw, clearly states the view of Australia's majority when he says that the country's deployment in Australia's greatest foreign policy failure since the Vietnam War. Even Murdoch's Australian newspaper, longtime supporter of the invasion and liberation, has questioned Howard's Obama misstep. And a good friend of mine referred to Howard's kind of missteps lately as having a series of Reagan moments, which I thought was an interesting way of putting it, because I've never seen John Howard so, you know, kind of on the back foot. But I do not count him out at all, because, I mean, he always comes up with something. there's always something for him to you know, whether it's going to be the next Tampa thing, false claims of refugees throwing their children overboard to force a rescue, which was a lie that he used in an election past. Howard's just really looking increasingly bad, and it's a culmination of things with the environment. David Hicks, that's becoming a huge issue, and you know, on both sides of whether people think David Hicks is guilty of something or whether they don't, the point is that there's been no due process, and he hasn't actually been charged, and that Howard is. And the Australian government has completely failed in its duty of care to its citizen just to make sure that his rights are being maintained. And as we know, they haven't been. They invited the press over to see where he's been staying. Rah, 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 rah. It's all just been a big PR exercise, so... you know, it just, that's just where it goes. So, now I think we're going to head out and take our first break of the day. You're listening to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We are live and happening. We have phones. So if you want to get in on the program, dial 1-877-443-2366. And, we'll be back after a couple of messages.
No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Mm-hmm. Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Energy Hog to team! I want you to infiltrate the house and wait some energy!
We'll just sneak into these leaky windows!
Just like we thought, boss! No insulation in the attic!
Perfect! Now go wild and waste some wattage!
The Mitchell House. A house like many others. Except this one's under attack by energy hogs. They show up anywhere energy's being wasted.
Talk to me, hogs!
The washer! It's not Energy Star rated!
Outstanding! What about the thermostat?
Not programmable! I repeat, not programmable!
Looks like we're living high on the hog.
Only one person has the power to get rid of energy hogs. You.
Hold on! Someone's home!
Andy's got energy-efficient light bulbs!
To find out how you can fight energy hogs, log on to energyhog.org. You'll find fun games and lots of tips on making your home more energy-efficient.
Now he's installing Energy Star appliances!
Not Energy Star! That's it! Get out of there! I'll get you, energyhog.org!
Hey! Wait for me!
Brought to you by the Alliance to Save Energy, the Department of Energy, and the Ad Council.
Think that I'm crazy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, you know, so go by the commentisfree.guardian.co.uk. Find this this bit. I read most of it from Anthony, but there is a comment thread. So please go and feel free to leave your comments on the story of Johnny Howard's missteps lately in the media. So, you know, just that's all just good and fun. Okay, now, before we go to the track of the day, which I haven't even talked about yet, we're gonna try something here. We're with the way we're producing now today from the Sydney studios. We're gonna try something a little bit unique. We're pumping phone calls slightly differently today. So we're gonna have a go, and I do believe we have Dave from Northern California on the line. How you going, David? Welcome to Foxed Up.
John, and I know you got a lot to deal with today, so I've tried to be brief, but the thought that's been occurring to me listening to you, these countries that are democracies that end up with a president who is not acting in behalf of the people, but on behalf of some special interest group, why would that happen? Why would people vote for someone that's out to do them so much harm? But it's happened here, and it sounds like from everything you say, it's happened there, and they've done it in Mexico. And the answer I can only come up with is they cheat. They rig the election. They put in place machines that will vote for who they want, regardless of how the people vote. They do dirty little trick things that will assure their election. Did it happen like that, you know?
Well, you know, we're looking at the voting machines here in Australia for the first time this year, only in little bits of release. They're doing some test marketing of it. And so that's a bit scary. You know, the system's very different here. The reason that Howard got in the last time was through a very, very clever bit of last-minute campaign ads where he got people to believe an untruth, which was that they had some control over interest rates. And Australians are so overextended on their mortgages here that, you know, any shift in interest rates is just it can be catastrophic for a huge amount of the people. And there was unease about the current Labor leader at the time, and there was a very, very clever hip pocket campaign done, and the Australian public bit right onto it, unfortunately. But I don't think that that's going to work this time, because interest rates have gone up since the last election, inflation has gone up since the last election, and people are seeing that Howard's industrial reforms policies aren't what they said they were.
Well, cheating in one form or another, or maybe a combination of several forms, is how this kind of thing happens. It happened in, well, let's say in Italy, their last election, Berlusconi was in the polls losing by more than 8 million votes, and Bush loaned him some of his finer machines so that people could vote on them. And then there was a sudden shift of 8.5 million votes from, I forget who won, to Berlusconi. But it was not enough. The more people were angry with Berlusconi than they realized.
And yeah.
They didn't do enough.
Well, I mean,
our last election.
That, well, I think you were going to say what I was just thinking in the last U.S. election, even with all the fudging that they had set up, the turnout and the wave was so far in the Democrats' favor that they couldn't even quite fix it this time. I reckon that if we actually gotten a real count in the last election, there would be like a 2/3 majority in both houses.
Right. You know, they just miscalculated a couple of times, and maybe just enough that they still hope to save this country and much of the planet, because they fully intended to hang on to both houses.
Well, David, don't you think also this time around that the public was being much more vigilant because of what we know, and also the fact that it was all that since there was no, you know, presidential factor involved, that it was all state and House and Senate seats, that locally people could keep an eye on things better, and they just kind of had their radar up that much more.
Right, and I gather that's taken it away from the news right now, but it sounds like Mexico is not living with what's been done to them. And I think Australia is about to learn what it's like to vote on electronic voting machines, because high-tech goons, they can do unbelievable things with computers.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and like I said, it's only like a test marketing. It's going to be in a couple of places, but the only way, you know, it'll be a little bit more difficult to get the machines in down here in widespread, but not saying that it can't be done. But the big factor is that John Howard has hinted at the fact of maybe considering making changing the electoral rules that maybe voting is no longer mandatory. And once that happens, that's when you really have the ability to finagle things much more easily, because you can just say, well, the opposition people just didn't turn up.
Well, you got a lot to deal with, and I told you I'd try to be brief, but one thing for sure, I think we mentioned it before, is that even in a small precinct, with a few hundred registered voters, one machine can turn out as many votes as they choose to have it turn out for who they want it to turn out for.
Right.
People say, well, that's ridiculous. How could 250 people have counted, cast 7,000 votes for the neocons as it happened? Surely there should be a recount, but they've designed it so there's no way to recount anything.
Oh yeah. It's a fight that I really hope comes back up to the forefront soon, because I think it needs to be dealt with before 2008, because the stakes are going to be so high in the next presidential election.
I'm calling every member of Congress that I can to try to get them to do whatever they can.
Yeah.
It isn't really a national issue. Voting here is a county and state issue, but the federal government got involved with their Help America to Vote and required that more machines be put in every precinct.
Howard Dean was down here a couple of years ago, and I had a chance to speak with him. And at that time, Barbara Boxer and a couple others were trying to put in a bill for a nationally standardized ballot, which I asked him, I said, in my mind, this would be one of the best ways to help fix the system, because in 2000 they used the fact that they couldn't standardize the recount, was part of the Supreme Court logic for stopping the recount, was that they couldn't standardize it because there was too much variation from county to county. So I would think that an actually nationally standardized ballot for, you know, all the federal stuff would be a really great way to go.
Ron Wyden is a senator from Oregon here, is introducing legislation that all of America vote out the same way that Oregon does. And you're mailed a paper ballot, which you fill out with your pencil, checking the boxes, and then you put it in the mailbox, and it goes back. Then the unfortunate thing, they get counted on people machines, but you say we'd like a recount, and manually now you have the paper there to manually recount.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are a few states that have found loopholes in their own state law to get back to that kind of thing. North Carolina ended up being able to get out of commissioning the machines, because they said, well, in our state law, we have to have a copy of the software. And since you refuse to give us a copy of the software, we won't certify your machines. So in the last election, the machines were gone. Now, but they still had the scan machines for the actual paper ballots, but those are being done by the individual electoral commissions, and there is that stipulation that if there is a recount, you go back and recount the paper ballots.
Right. Do make Australia aware if they're going to machines, that they're in for some real big trick.
Yeah, I actually, since I don't have the right to vote here yet, I passed that baton on to a friend of mine who does a blog called Machine Gun Keyboard, and he's an expat American who's an Australian citizen, and he has been covering the Diebold thing hugely over the past year, and I think he's gotten people's radar up on it. But what I find interesting is that since the original announcement, I've heard very little about the implementation, and I'm awaiting to hear something more from some more information. But I know that they had it in place for ideas of the blind and the disabled and whatnot. So it's something that we have
it's
to keep
a good.
Say again.
It's a free press. Oh.
Well, I mean, this is the blogosphere here in Australia is on the small side, but it's pretty it does pretty bloody well. And we actually have some a couple of Labor politicians who blog on their own blogs regularly, and they're right part of it. And it has some it seems to be having some great effect. But we got to head out to a break, David. I really appreciate hearing from you.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm sorry I was longer than I intended.
That's all right, man. That's all right. It's always good. That's why we call this thing Conversation Radio. We'll catch you next time, man, and I'm going to head out to this break. It's all so many things going on producing myself. So you have a good day, David. All right, folks. We're going to head out to a break here, and just got to pick some sort of let's do this. This will be fun. John gets to pick his own bumper music. That's kind of scary. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and, I don't know, do a couple things, and we'll do the track of the day, which I think is actually a song that I nominate needs to be a head-on radio bumper track. This is one for Agnes to use on Bob's show, but we'll come back and do that when we come back. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head-On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Global warming is here. The effects may seem slight
now, but in a few decades,
they could be massive.
Heat waves, floods, and food shortages. What can we do?
We can join together.
Because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And before we go and do the track of the day, been some really, really, really funny news in the world of Japanese whaling and Australian boats. I don't know if y'all realize, but one of the things that I am proud of this island nation on is the fact that they have this militant view of being an anti-whaling nation, to the point where the government turned on both sides, seem to turn the other cheek when Greenpeace and others will send their own ships out there to try and get in the way of Japanese whaling ships. And I take great pleasure in when things happen along these lines, and at the age, theage.com.au, Japanese whaler rammed us twice. It says, the leader of a protest ship has blamed the crew of a Japanese whaling vessel for a collision in Antarctic waters. Protest leader of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, Paul Watson, said that the incident happened after one of its ships, the Robert Hunter, saw the whaling vessel Keiko Maro pursue some whales. The Keiko Maro swerved into the starboard side of the Robert Hunter, causing a hull to be penetrated in the hull, he said. We had cameras on the whole event. The evidence shows quite clearly it was the Japanese who rammed us twice. Then they called a distress signal, which I don't understand why, because they weren't in distress. I think they were just trying to portray themselves as victims. Mr. Watson said the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society had rammed whaling ships before and had no problem admitting it. In this case, they, the Japanese, were the aggressors, he said. We didn't target them, they hit us, but they were going after whales, and they're part of the Japanese whaling fleet, and they're flying the flag of the Japanese whaling fleet. And this is something that quietly goes on. I have no idea whether this gets any press coverage in the United States, but, the Japanese are really trying to bring back commercial whaling, which is just wrong, because it's, you know, it's one of those things where we've seen populations return when the moratorium was in place. And there's quite a few of these ships, you know, private individuals who go out there and actually try and physically block the whaling ships from being able to do what it is that they try to do. Their so-called scientific whaling, research whaling, which is just such a load of crap. A bunch of comedians here have said, you know, I keep wanting to ask the Japanese, you know, what does your research prove, that whale meat is yummy? oh, it's just so pathetic and sad. It's not even funny. So, And just very, very enjoyable. I had a story up here, but I'm not even going to bother going to it at this point. As I was prepping, you know, there's been this Iraq discussion happening in the Australian Parliament all week. And John Howard's been saying that Kevin Rudd, the opposition leader, hadn't laid out his plan yet. And, you know, it's a new labor opposition, so they're still working out certain specific policies. However, he's been, you know, riding the anti-war thing, for quite a while. Now, there was a piece that said Rudd lays out his Iraq plan, and I went, great, he's done it. I go and read the 2-page article. It doesn't say anything about what his plan is. It talks a whole lot about what Howard and everybody else had to say about his lack of a plan before he supposedly released this plan, but there's not one single detail of the plan in the article. So when we get some of that plan, I'll tell you about it. Because I reckon it'll be good. This next thing that I've got is kind of interesting, and this could be interesting to David, our last caller, because he's talked about this kind of thing, and we'll have to keep an eye on this. Biojet fuel breakthrough, and not saying that I'm going, yay, go ahead and fly more and all that kind of thing. But this is interesting. Diversified Energy of Phoenix, Arizona announced today that it has licensed a new biofuel technology from North Carolina State University that looks promising for generating high-performance fuels from renewable oils. One of its largest markets, jet fuel, a challenging and complex fuel that has previously received little attention by the biofuels industry. Researchers say the patent-pending process termed Sentia by Diversified and NC State provides several advantages compared to other biofuel processes like biodiesel, ethanol, and others. They say their process delivers a more advanced and complex hydrocarbon fuel suitable for demanding applications like military JP-8 jet fuel or as a biodiesel additive for cold weather operations. And it can apparently be made from any renewable lipid-based oil compounds such as soybean, canola, animal fats, or algae. And they make comments that they're able to produce this with about half of the carbon footprint of producing cropped biofuels. So this might be interesting to watch how it develops. You know, if we could be turning waste fuels into something that is at least better than petrochemical jet fuel. So I don't know. It's something to keep an eye on. And, you know, I get in a real mixed situation. And, you know, some of the show's listeners who email me and, you know, had a couple calls, you know, call me up on the fact that, you know, I'm plugging, you know, alternative vehicle cars and all these other things, and really, is that the answer? And I think that there's a very, very justified argument there, and I do feel like I'm lacking looking at what the downsides might be, and I think part of that comes from just there's so much new stuff every day that I'm just trying to keep afloat of what's happening out there. But I think there's no question that it has to be we have to try and do everything now. And over time, we'll find the things that are the best options. And new options will make themselves apparent as we develop current technology. So I think there's validity in all of this. You know, aside from a few pie-in-the-sky things like clean coal, which doesn't exist, and hydrogen cell technology, ooh, I got some real issues with that. There's the platinum issue. There's a lot of issues there. And I think that's a technology that just really isn't showing the promise that some proponents would like you to believe. But that's for another day, I think. It's just, hydrogen fuel cells. I've got a bit of a problem with whether it's a reality or not. But boy, if they could actually make it happen and make it viable, how cool would it be? But I also still think that there's this issue that it's a technology that's trying to keep you connected to some sort of supply system, so that there's still a pump that you have to go to. I mean, I still reckon my favorite, and a whole bunch of the network folks, like our bloggers, you know, think the compressed air car is just the bee's knees, and I'm all along that one. So anyway, I'm gonna just divert straight away from that, because I've had this track of the day ready to go for a couple of days, and I just really want to go there, because, well, I didn't realize I had this album again. And it was hidden deep in the library, which has been donated by B1 Louder Productions. Thank you, Scott. And he reminded me the other day that I have the two bluegrass albums from Miss Dolly Parton. Now, she did two bluegrass records, and they're fairly recent. The one we're gonna there was one called The Grass Is Blue, which is just some of the most fiery bluegrass playing you would have ever heard in your life. It's just awesome stuff. She did a second one called Halos and Horns. That goes in a whole bunch of different directions. However, you know, like that cover of Imagine from A Perfect Circle, there are certain songs that really one should not try and cover. And if you do, you better make it your own. And you better do a fine job. Or else you just, it's not worth the effort, and you're going to look like a hack. Now, I reckon our good mates, the Kincaids, you know, you listen to Head On, and it's, you know, a mix of, you know, big guitars and, you know, lots of Appalachia and country music and all that kind of thing. Well, what better than to add to your playlist, Agnes, than Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, done by Dolly Parton. Now, don't laugh. Don't laugh. When I play this, you're going to be stunned. There is some of the most beautiful playing in here, and this again reminds me that I think a banjo is an underutilized instrument in all forms of music. And listen to these vocal arrangements. They're insane. So without further ado, the legend herself, Miss Dolly Parton, and Stairway to Heaven.
Thank you.
recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the sound of a kid being bullied at school.
Where'd you get the shirt? Colorblind and things?
This is the sound of the kid telling her friend about it.
Then she makes fun of my clothes and says I'm not allowed to use the bathroom if the cool girls are in there.
Now this is the sound of that same kid telling her parents about the bully. Just because you don't hear about bullying from your child doesn't mean it's not happening.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with clues for parents to look for if bullying is upsetting their children. Kids may want to avoid school, or their grades may suffer. You gotta look for these signs, because kids don't usually talk about it. How do you stop bullies? With words. To your kid, to school officials, other concerned parents, and by going to McGruff.org.
So tonight, sit down with your kid, and you might hear this. But try asking her how her day went, and you might hear this.
Mom, something happened at school today.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
I've been down, cascading in blue without a sound. Now I've traded my black feathers for a crown. So feed me milk and honey, lay me down, lay me down.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, depending on where you are on this beautiful blue marble. I hope you dug that. You know, sometimes I think it's forgotten, actually, what an unbelievable talent Dolly Parton really is. Not only is she a fine guitar player in her own right when she cuts her fingernails, but I'll tell you, she's just, in my mind, she's one of the true legends. And you listen to that thing and you listen to those vocal arrangements and it's just to die for. And there's just that one double stop resonator bend going into the second chorus that's just kind of makes the hair on my arms stand up. It's just groovy stuff. So before I get out of here, I got to cover this. James Hansen from NASA gave a speech the other day. He was given the World Wildlife Federation's Duke of Edinburgh Conservation Medal, and he has some interesting things to say. And this is off of climateprogress.org. It says two features are especially noteworthy. First, Hansen includes his slides so you can understand what he's saying very clearly. Second, he speaks with increasing poignancy about what we are doing to this planet. And he says, it is an uncomfortable, inconvenient scientific truth. We cannot pour into the atmosphere all of the fossil fuels that were buried in the ground over millions of years without creating a different planet, without destroying creation, without bringing miserable failures in our stewardship of the planet we were blessed with. When a fossil fuel company refuses to become an energy company and bamboozles the public with advertisements such as, you call CO2 pollution, we call it life, it is time to stop patronizing that company. When a politician accepts money from fossil fuel interests and then describes global warming as a great hoax, it is time to draw attention to that and help vote him out. When our government stands on the side of polluters in court and connives with industries to continue pollution, characterizing it as a clear skies policy.
You're listening to The Horn on Radio Network.
Great. The process has already been carefully choreographed in an attempt to bolster the popularity of both Bush and Blair, who have suffered for their handling of the war. The scope of the phased withdrawal, which will see U.S. force levels cut to around 100,000 by the end of the year, and British numbers almost halved, has already been agreed, one senior defense source. The actual announcement will come in response to a statement from Iraqi Prime Minister Government believes coalition forces are no longer number of provinces. As Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice prepared to accept an honorary degree from Boston College today, a small plane flew overhead pulling a sign that said, "Your war brings dishonor." It was one of the hundreds of signs of protests to the Iraq War that her visit to the Jesuit campus fought as 3,234 students prepared to receive their diplomas. 100 graduating students wore white armbands with a circle with a red word "war," and many hoisted signs that said "no honorary degree." Horn, the associate dean of students at the School of Education, said, quote, "I'm an architect of this war who uses young men and women to be in. She stands for everything we don't stand for here. To honor her says I want to be part of that," end quote. Jails added more than 1,000 inmates each week for a year, putting almost two or one in every 136 U.S. residents behind bars by last summer. The total on June 30, 2005 was 56,428 more than at that same time in 2004, the government reported Sunday. That 2.6% increase from mid-2004 to mid-2005 translates into a weekly rise of 1,000.